Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar today titled Workflow, Business Challenge or Competitive Advantage, sponsored by OSE, part of the Canon Group. I think we all identify with the fact that we're feeling tighter budgets, we're experiencing shorter print runs. Unfortunately, it's a reality of the printing industry today, and whether you're a commercial printer, an implant facility, a book printer, a direct mailer, you're all forced to do more with less, and that's just the way the market is today. What we've done today is we've rounded up a group of experts for this hour-long discussion, and we're going to talk about how to deal with some of these challenges. What these companies have done is they've streamlined and automated workflow processes to increase productivity, reduce the human interaction, and really reduce overall errors to gain a competitive advantage in the marketplace. Now, today I'm joined by Buddy Mountcastle, and he's the Software Marketing Product Manager at OSE North America, Fred Conrad, who's Head of Client Relations for NBS, and Tim Gandry, and he's the VP of Operations at Seabridge Media. And what we're going to be doing today is really sharing with you strategies surrounding streamlining operations. But before we do that, what I would like to do is give you just a few tips for enjoying the webinar. If you're experiencing any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box or troubleshooting by clicking on the help widget. Now, we'll be taking questions throughout the webinar. To submit a question, just use the Q&A box and key in the question you'd like us to respond to. And if you want to see what's going on in terms of the overall console, you can click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, this next slide talks about what we'll be covering in today's webinar. And what we've got is Buddy Mountcastle will discuss, first of all, defining production workflow and what production workflow is. And Steph, I'm going to ask you to advance the slide for me. The next thing that I'll do is just spend a couple of minutes talking about the workflow challenges that organizations face today. And then what you're going to hear is you're going to hear from Fred Conrad and Tim Gandry. And what they're going to share with you is scenarios about how they're making production automation work in their specific environments. And they'll share it right down to the diagrams of how they run their operation. We'll wrap up with a couple of recommendations and conclusions. And again, please feel free to key in those questions because we'll be taking them throughout the webinar. Now, without further ado, what I'm going to do is turn it over to Buddy Mountcastle. Buddy's going to share with you how people define workflow. Buddy, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Hello. My name is Buddy Mountcastle, Barb said, and I'm the Software Marketing Product Manager within OSE North America, Canon Group Company. Before we proceed, before we dive today, you know, in today's session, I'm going to make a few moments to talk about workflow and its impact within the business today. First off, what is workflow? What does it entail? Where does it start? Where does it stop? If you look at the dictionary, it tells us workflow is a progress of work, progress or rate of progress of work done by a business, a department, or a person. Well, that's a great definition for basic manufacturing, but in the world of printing, it is so much more. With workflow in the printing industry, we hear the terms upstream, downstream, and in almost all cases, it is association with the data stream. With workflow in the print industry, the key to success is connecting the upstream processes with the downstream deliverables and everything in between. As with any process or stream, the goal is for it to flow as smoothly as possible with little to no interruption at all. The last thing any print business wants is for their business to stop. Workflow is more than connecting the front-end processes with the back-end deliverables. It is the heartbeat of the operation. Like the human body, as long as everything is pumping solidly through the business from one phase to the next, all is well. It's when a business experiences a stoppage in the process that it can endure pain and heartache, same as our bodies. And most likely, when these stoppages occur within the business, the management is feeling the pain and heartache as well. Having a solid, reliable workflow within the business is a lifeline to success from order acceptance to delivery and invoice. With the right software tools in place throughout the entire business, workflow can help cut and control your costs, which in turn will help increase revenues. And if I'm not mistaken, we're all in this to make money, not give it away. Workflow tools that can eliminate or reduce physical touching of the job will help reduce labor costs and at the same time increase turnaround time. Workflow can provide a method of tracking performance to identify areas of concern with poor utilization while also providing for new application opportunities. There's a number of ways workflow can help reduce costs and increase your revenue. The key is implementing them so that their investments are utilized to the highest potential. The big question is, what software tools are needed to put in a reliable, effective workflow solution? At a minimum, the workflow tools should be able to connect to order intake, production management, and invoicing. Okay, so I didn't give away any major insights to a product or a solution. This is because there are a number of workflow tools to help with order submission, data manipulation, pre-press, production management, print production, tracking and metrics, invoicing, and much more. The true key to a successful workflow is finding the right mix of products that can integrate and talk with each other. Investing in a software tool that is limited in its ability to communicate with other facets of the business is like putting a dam in the river. It stops everything until you let it go by, and everything that comes its way will back up until released. A successful workflow is one where the data stream can flow from order submission upstream to invoicing downstream. Just a reminder, though, no two workflows are the same, and no one solution fits all. The workflow that fits best within your organization is the one that allows for clear communication of what is needed when, where, and by who. It is also a solution that should be flexible and allows for growth and new opportunities. Thank you for your time, and what I'm going to do now is hand it over to Barb to talk more about the challenges.
Yeah, buddy, I have a quick question for you. You mentioned the concept of, you know, one solution doesn't fit all. And I guess I'm interested in your perspective, buddy, relative to how different are solutions as you look at the transactional market versus the graphic arts versus the book manufacturing. And, you know, are there fundamentals that are the same or are they totally different?
Fundamentally, the concept is the same. You have an intake of a job. You have the output, and you have the delivery. The key difference is one is print for pay, and one is really controlling cost. You know, in the transaction world, they're all worried about controlling their cost, but also integrity of, you know, the data, tracking of the pieces. In the graphic arts, we find the workflow is similar aspects, but it's more about turnaround time and getting it to the customer so that they're making money off the products that they're delivering. But the tools in place are the same. You know, they're the same tools. What your differences are on the workflow side, from a transaction standpoint, you have pieces that are connecting to the back end so that you're able to track each and individual single pieces and reach them back to the front end to make sure that you have 100% integrity. And on the front end graphic arts, it's all about order intake, web submission, giving your ability to reach to your customers smoothly and effectively.
Great. Hey, thanks, buddy. What I want to do is just share some that InfoTrends recently did on some of the workflow challenges. And then I'm over to Fred and Tim to talk about how they're addressing those challenges. I think we all hear that the market is more competitive than ever. I also think we all agree that buyers cost and higher quality. But what we're also seeing is a higher volume of short-run jobs, turnaround time decreases, and production efficiency has become critical. And what that means is I have to integrate disparate systems in some instances, as well as third-party applications to automate and streamline workflow. Now, this next slide actually shows what's happening with run lengths. And the message is a simple one. They're getting smaller and smaller. And Steph, if you would advance that slide for me, I'm technically challenged a bit today. But what we're seeing is we've looked at run lengths and we measured and monitored them at InfoTrends in 2004, 2008, and 2011. And the simple message is those run lengths of 250 or less are growing and those run lengths of 50,000 or more are rapidly declining. The other big challenge that, especially in the graphic arts market, and if you move to the next slide that we're dealing with, is that the web has clearly taken hold. What's interesting is that what you're finding is if I'm in the graphic arts market, I'm forced to put up multiple web storefronts for a variety of different customers. And in fact, what we discovered is that the mean number of storefronts that people are managing in today's market is in fact 8. Now, we also surveyed more than 170 printers on the next slide and asked them where there was room for improvement in automation. And if you'll advance the slide, Stephanie, I think what you're seeing is that it cuts across the gamut. First of all, they see room for improvement in terms of file submission and taking those back up one, if you would, Stephanie. They see room for improvements in file submission, in overall print management, pre-press and media, overall administration, shipping and fulfillment, and finishing. So there's room across all facets of the spectrum in terms of where people want to see improvements in the workflow automation in their production operation. Now, the next slide actually shows critical workflow bottlenecks that people feel are the most important. We asked them which 5 they considered to be the most major bottlenecks in workflow. Started with proofing and approval, getting those job estimates to the customers quickly, pre-flighting, getting those jobs submitted, and getting bills out the door. Now, when you look at today's market, and you go to the next slide, please, what we're seeing is that automation exists. But what we found is that companies actually have islands of automation. They've done some level of automation of job creation and submission, the pre-production process, production, and post-production. But that automation today is existing in silos. Yet almost two-thirds of the people on the line still rate automation as a top priority. The challenge that they're dealing with is different departments and processes are not effectively talking with each other. And what happens is that adds manual touches and, as a result, time and cost to production processes. One of the service providers that I talk to on a regular basis said, you know, every time somebody touches something, money is lost. And so if I go to this next slide, what we'd like to see is an ideal workflow. And that ideal workflow would be seamless and automated. And what you'd have is you'd have a multi-pronged approach to achieving workflow excellence. What you'd do is you'd have standardized order information from all job submission points. You'd get rid of all of the workflow bottlenecks like proofing and job estimating by digitizing them. You'd use a centralized system to manage all of that order information. And what you'd wind up doing is effectively leveraging integration platforms or services that would knock down those data silos. Now, that's the ideal state. What you're going to do now is hear from two of our presenters, and what they're going to share with you is, in fact, how they work to make print production automation effective. And so what I'm going to do now is turn it over to Fred Conrad, and Fred's going to share a bit about his company, NBS, National Business Systems, and what they're doing in terms of both the customers they serve and how they serve them effectively. And so with that, Fred, I'm going to ask you to take it away.
Great. Thanks, Barb. As Barb mentioned, I'm with National Business Systems. We are celebrating 40 years, our 40-year anniversary this year. We started in 1972 as a data entry service provider. Over the last 40 years, we've adapted our service offerings to meet the challenges of the marketplace as well as the changing technology. Our current offerings include data capture, which is where we started. However, today is primarily in support of our document imaging area, where we're keying information from scanned documents to create indexes for quick lookup. In our document imaging area, we're taking paper, fiche, and film documents, scanning and creating digital images for those documents to either be returned to clients for hosting internally, or we have also developed a hosting product of our own. Our real core business today is transactional print and mailing, and that's pretty much to us anything where you've got sensitive financial or private data somewhere in the document. That's really what we've set up, and our core is all built around how to manage documents in that particular realm. We also do electronic delivery of those transactional documents for those clients looking for that. Our digital hosting was something that we developed ourselves. We couldn't find a product out on the marketplace that met the needs that our clients had, so we developed our own system. It allows us to host both scanned images as well as print images. And today we're currently hosting just under 400 million for all of our clients. The vertical markets that we're primarily focused on tend to be the financial services companies, county governments and municipalities, healthcare organizations. They're really the big drivers of our business today. Currently, we print just over 12 million images a month, and we mail just over 2.5 million images a month. The vast majority of those, probably well over 95%, are all statements of some kind, and we do some additional correspondence and direct mail, primarily in support of those transactional customers. This is a little bit of a workflow diagram, and you can see it's pretty busy, but being an outsourced service provider, workflow is critical to us and to our clients. So this particular slide shows a workflow around a document print and mail project that actually has an e-statement component. Kind of walk you through what's going on because it is pretty busy, but if nothing else, this shows that there's a lot of moving parts going on, and the more you can automate, the more you can eliminate the errors that occur when you're manually getting involved and touching documents along the stream. Originally, when we got into print and mail, we were doing everything manually. Files hit our FTP site. We manually brought them into our production environment. We manually kicked off the programs that formatted the documents, manually kicked off the programs that did the postal sorting, and manually moved those files to the print server so they could actually get into the print realm. That was a piece that we absolutely had to automate, and so today we've got that entire process automated. From the time a file hits our FTP site, we have an automated file mover that goes out, pulls that file, sweeps it in, and the first thing it does once it's in our production environment is it matches the counts that we received in the file or files versus the audit file that the client sent to us to make sure that matches. As soon as we've done that, we're also kicking out a notification to our client. We're keeping them in the loop as work goes through our process so that they're aware of what's happening. Once we've gotten the approval, we know the file is good and ready for production. We actually go through it, automatically kicks off a series of processes that typically involves formatting the documents first or modifying them in some way so that we can get accurate page counts. In many cases, we're appending check images to bank statements and things like that. So we're dealing with multiple files. We're combining all of that. And then we're doing an account verification at that point. Before we go into the postal sorting, we also do a verification after the postal sorting and generally kick out some kind of an audit report for our client, because many of the files we receive will also have e-statements as well as suppressed statements, and so we'll need to account for all of those before we go into production. Once we get to the print server, print operator can direct those print files to any one of our printers, depending upon availability, size of job, those sorts of things. Once jobs have been printed, we're doing a verification before we move into the inserting realm. In our mailing operation, we're using 2D barcodes and cameras on our intelligent inserters to make sure that we've accounted for every page of every document in every cycle. There's a 2D barcode on every page that's read as documents are fed into the accumulator to make sure we've got the correct pages in the proper sequence and associated with the right document before they are then folded and continued down the stream into inserting. On the back end, we've got a camera that reads a 2D barcode that's in the name and address block. That allows us to verify and ensure that we've accounted for every document within that cycle. We then use that file that we've captured to create an audit report at the end of the job. The last piece in it is we have U.S. Postal Service employees that come on site every day to clear our mail, so they're verifying all of the counts that we have before we can actually put it on the USPS trucks.
Fred, you mentioned as you were talking through this that a lot of this was manual to start with.
Yeah.
And one of our participants asked the question, how did you transform and what steps did you take to take this workflow and automate it? So where did you start and how did you get to the level of automation that you have today?
Well, we started by actually picking the tools that would allow us to automate the process. We're using GMC software to do a lot of our document creation. And it's a very powerful platform and gives us the ability to do a lot of things in an automated fashion. But also there are a lot of tools out in the marketplace that give you the ability to do file moving, unzipping, a combining of files. So there are tools out there that you can use. And as we looked at it, we looked at every point where someone had to manually kick off a process, and we looked for the tools that would help us bridge that gap and take those people out of the equation. Because as was alluded to, I think, Buddy, or you mentioned earlier, every time someone gets involved and touches something, not only does it cost you money, but you've got a potential to make a mistake. And in our business, when we're dealing with transactional documents, it's got to be right. And that's the number one focus of our business is it's got to be right. As timely as it has to be and as cost effective as it has to be, it's got to be right.
Now, the other piece that somebody asked was, you just hit on it, which is you look at the tools at each touch point to say, how can I automate? And their question was, are there any whole solutions available, or is it really a systems integration initiative?
Well, we did not find a tool that did the entire process for us because we deal with so many different types of files from so many different types of customers in different industries. We're getting all kinds of different print files. They could be already formatted, and we're modifying that formatting to some degree, or it could be raw data that we're building. So because we have to be able to handle so much coming in, we couldn't find a tool that gave us the ability to do all of that. So we looked for tools that were scalable and that worked in our environment. And does that answer that for you?
Yeah, and I'm going to ask Buddy to build on this also. Buddy, do you have any comments on it relative to is there one tool available out there? And I'll just ask you real quickly. Buddy, any comments on that?
No, I haven't seen one tool out in the marketplace that does all of it. know, in many cases, it's usually a mix of products that help handle the inventory, the order management, the invoicing, and then the print management. And they're usually separate systems, and usually what you're looking for is some kind of interface between each of those that they can talk to each other.
Yeah, and so I think that's the important concept is you need to look for something that gives you a fairly open architecture that lets you integrate multiple components so that you can build out that system. And I tell everybody else that you also want a supplier that's got some good professional services capability to support that. I think Fred did a great job at describing the fact that he is, you know, a print-for-pay establishment, and he's got a set of clients out there that set the rules in a lot of instances, and he has to be able to deal with what comes his way. Now, I have one other question that came in, Fred, when you were talking. What kinds of service level agreements do you have with your customer base?
Our service levels get shorter and shorter. You alluded to that earlier. Pretty much most of what we handle on the statement side today, we're turning in 24 hours, maybe 48. Periodically, we can buy 72 hours, but frankly, all of our clients are looking to get their statements into the mail and into their customers' or members' hands as absolutely quickly as possible. So we are getting squeezed. We are doing runs. People have created multiple cycles so that they can move some of their client base across different cycles and lessen some of the print volume so that we can move through it quicker. But everything is about how fast can you get it in my customer's hands.
And let me ask you another question, which is you talked extensively about all the checkpoints that you have for document integrity. Do you ever make a mistake?
Oh, sure. I don't think anybody in this business can say they've never made a mistake. I think our error ratio is somewhere, the last we measured was 99.9987% or something accurate. We have done everything we can to build in safeguards to ensure that a mistake doesn't get made. But I could not sit here and tell you that we have never made a mistake.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks. I'll let you keep going here, Fred.
Okay. One of the things I glossed over in the previous slide was the print portion of it. And I just want to touch on Prisma for a minute because we found some value in Prisma that has actually helped us quite a bit. Prisma is really the backbone of our print operation. We have a variety of OSE printers on our floor, both high volume and high speed roll fed printers as well as cut sheet printers. Got a pretty good variety of them out there. We also have highlight color and micker in both roll fed and cut sheet. So we've got a lot of capacity and a lot of capability out on the floor. With Prisma, we can drive all of those printers from one central location. As our work expands, we can add printers without having to make adjustments to Prisma. It's been very flexible for us this way. We've, over the last 6 years, I think every year and a half to 2 years, we've changed our print configuration to some degree, and Prisma's been able to support that, which has been great for us. A couple of other things about it that have been helpful for us. The resources for all of our print jobs are resident on Prisma, so we are not resource dependent on any one given device, which gives us a lot of flexibility on the production side. It also supports a variety of print descriptor languages. A lot of what we produce out of our GMC process is AFP for the OSE printers, but we have clients who will send us PDF files, say, and they don't want us to do anything to the data but print it exactly as they sent it, and then they may combine that print with some other documents to create a fully collated type of a report. With Prisma, we don't have to go through any pre-process. We can take those PDFs, send them directly to a printer, and be able to print. So it's given us a lot of flexibility. The last note I'll just make about Prisma real quick is that we just recently made an investment in the Prisma accounting module, And we're fairly excited to get going with this because we're going to be able to track our print volumes by printer and shift, which will help us track productivity, be able to help us track our volume by day so we can see when we're busiest. We'll be able to track waste versus actual output, which is probably most significant in the continuous realm, and also help us with long-range planning.
I have a couple other real quick questions for you, Fred. The first
yes.
one is, are you using Micr capability?
Yes, we are. We have Micr, both cut sheet and continuous.
And what specific applications, I mean, what kinds of jobs are you using Micr for then?
They're for checks. Just, they could be healthcare checks. They could be other kinds of reimbursement checks, primarily checks. We are starting to use for some of our clients, they're starting to do some advanced payment processing on their end, so we're starting to use Micr on Visa statements for them so that they can capture those payments at higher speed back at their location.
Yep. Okay, now, one other real quick question, and then I'll let you keep going here. But
sure.
What role does the client play, the end client, in terms of the integrity of the run? What are your expectations on the way that the client provides you data?
Well, most clients are restricted to some degree by the software systems that they're using, the core systems that they're using that manage a lot of their day-to-day business. And typically in those systems, there's some kind of a module that allows them to create a statement file, whether it's already formatted or maybe XML or some other kind of raw data. So a lot of our clients are actually not as far along as we have to be, which is why we have to be positioned to take in all kinds of data files and all kinds of structures and be able to build all of the integrity into the process for them. Most of them can't do that, and that's why they come to someone like us, because we can add that integrity.
And then you really work with them to make sure that they're giving you information in the right fashion and giving it to you accurately.
Oh, absolutely. There's typically, depending upon the structure of the data coming in, there are things that we'll do to verify that we received all of the data fields that we were supposed to have. There are types of jobs where we put trigger points if there's some data that we think is supposed to be present and we find records where that's not present. We'll put up a flag and push that back to the client and say, okay, you need to help us understand, is this really what we're supposed to get or is there something missing here?
Okay, great. Thanks.
Kind of coming down to the end here, do want to talk real quick about one of our newest opportunities. It's been growing over the past 5 years and has taken on a little bit of a life of its own for us, and that's community banks. Community banks are a good market for us because due to the costs associated with purchasing high-speed printers and intelligent inserters, most community banks are not in a position to want to make those sorts of investments on top of the people that you'll need to be able to operate that equipment. Some of them are small enough that the volume doesn't warrant. Those that are large enough don't want to be pulled away from their core business to worry about getting statements out. A lot of the community banks that we have found are currently doing the statements in a single branch or in multiple branches, so they can share the pain, if you will. They're printing these statements on some kind of a desktop printer, very low volume, and then they take line staff, tellers, and other folks and actually have them fold and stuff the statements as they get time. So consequently, they end up creating cycles for every day of the month so they can spread that work out. And then they all, on top of that, they end up losing all of the postage discounts that are available to them. So for one particular bank, just to give you an idea of what we were able to do, this bank had 25 branches and prints a couple hundred thousand statements every month. It was a pretty onerous process for them, and they were looking at having to make some pretty significant investments in hardware, probably software, and in people in order to support the growth that they have, and they're growing all the time. We came in, offered a solution to them. They were immediately able to save $36,000 in postage in a fairly short amount of time, and also save the money that they would have had to invest in hardware, maintenance agreements, and people as well. Truly was a win-win for both them and for us, and we're looking forward to working with them for a long time. That's pretty much it for me. Workflow is critical to everything we do, and we're always looking for ways to improve how we do what we do, because the market's always looking for that.
That's a great story, Fred, and I know you guys have worked extensively on making sure that you got it right. What I'm going to do now is turn it over to Tim Gandry, and Tim is going to share a little different perspective. What you've got is NDS is really in the high-end transaction and statement printing. What you'll hear from Tim is how a graphic arts commercial print for pay establishment is building out workflow to gain a competitive advantage. And with that, Tim, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Just to give a little background on both companies, we're a recent merger, and we formed Seabridge Media from Ideal Printers and Print Mailers, which were both Houston individually owned based commercial printers, and with Ideal being a more traditional commercial shop with a focus on offset digital and large format printing, while Print Mailers was more of focused on mail and fulfillment, but also produced offset and digital print as well. Our vision is to grow into more of a one-stop shop for marketing, design, data processing, pre-press, print, signage, mail fulfillment. And since the merger, we've already really started expanding our large format capabilities with new equipment and upgrading our digital equipment as well, and really cross-selling those new services to existing clients. We've bought into the belief that communication is much more effective when it's done utilizing multiple forms of media and utilizing those channels to reach broader audiences. Recently Seabridge has executed multimedia campaigns that originated with ideas on how to integrate social media into a trade show exhibitor's marketing mix, and that led to trade show booth design and direct mail and e-blasts and mobile SMS campaigns. And we've talked a long time about being a marketing solution provider, but until recently, we really haven't executed or really had opportunity beyond print solutions. So it's been really refreshing for us to shed that stigma of being only a print house or mail house and having an audience that will listen to us talk about integrating our wide mix of tools into their marketing approach. So before we could go out and sell the merits of personalization, versioning, just-in-time inventory, we had to build that engine that could support the new workflows and the business that we saw as our future revenue. We really looked at opportunities from a print management perspective as well as how we could meet customer marketing objectives and challenges. And while most solutions we've engineered are unique, the problems that our customers face have been pretty similar. We've seen the procurement and marketing departments trying to reduce overhead and inventory, as well as combat losses on obsolete inventory. And we're being asked, like everyone else, for faster and faster turn times, and that they need to reduce soft costs and order processing. And while meeting all their MIS and IT requirements, which for us, they just seem to get more and more complicated and automated. Going back to having a print management perspective, we really looked hard at how our best customer service could be improved and where we could find cost and time savings in our internal workflow and manufacturing process. Our business it's about half digital and half offset, but we really focused our attention on how we could take the digital technology and utilize its full potential. So we looked at specific solutions for high-volume customers whose needs were unique, and we looked at how we could best handle the large custom order volume. We examined all Yes, ma'am.
Tim, just a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. The same question that was asked of Fred, what are the types of service level agreements that are expected of you right now with your customer base in terms of turnaround time, and then what's going on with your run lengths of specific jobs?
Well, we're definitely, just to answer the last question first, we're seeing shorter and shorter runs like everyone else. Our digital volume just probably 5 years ago was probably 25% of our business, where now, like I said earlier, it's about half of our revenue.
Okay.
So I want to say it's almost the digital is cannibalizing our offset work just because people are asking for shorter runs and can get it faster, so it makes sense for them. As far as service level agreements, we've seen some it's wide ranging. A lot of things we do, depending on the application, are 24 hours. Quite a few are 24 to 48, and if we get past 3 days, we think we've got all the time in the world.
Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, so going back to examining our workflow, we kind of looked at everything. We dug down to the department layout and separating a new digital bindery from our traditional one, as well as what equipment we could upgrade and software that could handle that digital output. We found one of our biggest clogs in the workflow was the amount of time it took to do file intervention on custom jobs. And specifically, it's not only with the custom jobs, but, you know, if you work with any folks who do the training and event literature, it was always the last-minute stuff, and it's the ones that required multiple proofs and changes. And we saw our pre-press just being overloaded with scanning and file manipulation and imposition for jobs that were just like a standard YRO booklet, let's say, and tabs and multiple color inserts. And they always had the last-minute changes on PowerPoint slides that, you know, various pages within the book that didn't have page numbers. So, you know, they keeping up with this type of work was not only just a mess, but it was really impossible to do within our normal workflow and in that required customer time frame. And our saving grace was actually, it was packaged within the new equipment purchases that we made from OSE. When we upgraded our equipment, we also upgraded the workflow software to the Prisma Prepare, and instantly our prepress could be relieved from those headaches, and the file intervention and all the file preparation could be done back at the press. So it was a little bit of a culture shock for our prepress department, but it didn't take long for everyone to see that there are huge time benefits. Our operators can open the file in the software and have great visual tools to assign tab sheets, colored inserts, define one- or two-sided pages. They're inserting hard copy scans, many more time-saving elements in there. I'm not a pre-press person, and I don't claim expertise in running any of the machinery, but I've been on the receiving end of the internal complaints about how bad our customer files are, and I've noticed now that when the files are going back into Prisma Prepare, I really don't have to deal with that issue, and our production's much smoother, and handling the large variability in our orders is easy for our operators. I apologize for this really small illustration, but it's just showing an actual file in setup. In our business, for instance, we do a lot of healthcare industry work. It can be really difficult to manage the workload, and like in the educational seminar booklets and medical forms, patient charts, et cetera. We're lucky to have the world's largest medical center right here in our backyard, but it means that we've got to support major institutions with complex demands. And we're doing our best so that we don't make the news as the printer responsible for a procedure gone awry and, you know, from a missing former page. So going back to making things right, you know, it's just like Fred said, it's easy. The software's got to be easy and accurate, you know, for us. It's just a must. I've talked a little bit about our standard workflow, and I'd like to go into one more specific solution that's unique and much more complex as far as a technology solution. We have one customer who for years required a large warehouse to store and assemble and distribute kits for their large manufacturing operation, and the kits are really cumbersome. They've got over 2,000 model variations, and within the kit are parts ranging from 8 to 15 pieces of print. And recently they came to us and they had a pretty simple request. It was straightforward. Just help us find a way to reduce our inventory and soft costs and produce the kits faster to meet production needs. And, you know, the answer to that was pretty complicated. We knew the parts that made up the kits varied with literature ranging from 2 to 8 pages, multiple stocks, and some pieces being folded and inserted into envelopes. And after multiple plant tours and understanding their manufacturing process and meetings, we presented a new print-on-demand model for them. And soon the requirements started expanding to integrating into their supply chain software and to receive orders on demand and communicate production status back automatically into their software. And this required for us some custom programming on our end to retrieve files and communicate order confirmations, shipping notifications, and to find a way to internally keep up with that daily order volume of it's about 5,000 kits, and in that it's in the 5,000 kits is probably 50,000 parts per day. So the other aspect was taking the print files and getting those into the production workflow. We had to adopt a system completely outside our day-to-day workflow to manage the volume and complexity of the pieces. And to do this, we had to automate our systems internally to produce job tickets, file submission, and simplify the shipping process. The diagram below at the slide is it's a flow chart of the processes, and without getting too complicated, the workflow begins with a submission from the customer system for a kit based on their forecasted demand. The kits are accumulated and processed as orders and then submitted to our FTP site, where our Symbio software continuously pulls and it's always looking for orders. So when one arrives, we take it into our system, submit an automatic confirmation back to the customer telling them we've got the order, and then the server outputs files and job tickets automatically. The operators pull the ticket off the press that just printed it out. They verify the tickets to the print files, and then once the collated parts are produced, the kitting process begins on our end. So the parts of the kits are stored as finished goods, and some are required to fold and insert. So they're all matched up back in the kits, boxed per the order, and then shipped within a 2-day process. So shipment paperwork like box labels and packaging lists are automatically generated when the order is complete in our system. And at this time, a shipment notification is also sent to the customer to let them know what parts to be expecting at their dock. And the keys to this process are really just eliminating human touches in the ordering process, job ticketing, pre-press, and shipping stages. There really isn't any possible way that we could manage this kind of volume or parts and everything in our shop with our traditional workflow. And you know, our goals at SeaBridge are to continue innovating print, marketing, and communication solutions. We all know that we have to be both competitive and effective to give our customers a good return on investment. And we firmly believe in building efficiencies with the right combination of software and hardware and eliminating clogs in the manufacturing process. And most importantly, finding the right solution, it doesn't just solve the customer needs, but it's profitable for us. So, Barb, I hope this gives some insight in our workflows here at SeaBridge. That's about all I got.
First of all, Tim, how do you handle, I've got a couple questions for you. How do you handle mm-hmm. prioritization of the specific jobs as they come into the queue? And so, you know, what do I do to prioritize all the incoming jobs for my business?
You know, it depends on which customer and application. And the one I was just talking about, they really just run an order unless anything is identified as a hotter part on the forecasted demand. We have multiple workflows in our system. So what we do is we have a production team that takes it all in and prioritizes daily from customer service communication and then down to the floor.
Okay. Now, how long did it take you to implement the automation process with the Symbio software and then link it in, obviously, with your OSA workflow?
It was a little less than a year. It was about 9 months of most of it was planning and getting this the right solution and doing a lot of homework on finding the combination of equipment and software that would handle that kind of volume. But start to finish, I'd say about 9 months.
And then, so once and how long once you made the decision on leveraging the Symbio capability?
We had had Symbio before we actually found this application. I knew that was going to be part of it. It's the engine I knew we were going to utilize. But as far as, you know, how we were going to retrieve files, submit them to the workflow, and also the job ticketing, there were some custom pieces that even with the Symbio software that we had to put into it.
Okay. And then one last question. You mentioned the, you know, 24, 36, and 3 days is a long time. How do you get your pricing estimates done when you've got those types of turnaround time demands?
That's a good question. That's probably our number one complaint from customers is that our estimates take too long. We try to turn our estimates in 12 hours, if not 24, if we've got a big backlog. Estimating, we've tried to do our best as far as moving products with customers online, so there's a lot of things that are, you know, there is no estimating done, or we've moved to a lot of products are the same, so we've got some matrix pricing to really speed up the process.
Okay. And I have another question here for Fred. Fred, you mentioned saving of $36,000.
Yeah.
Was that for the community bank? Was that annual savings, Fred?
Yes.
Okay, so that was on an annualized basis for the community bank.
Yep.
And then Fred, I have one other question for you. You mentioned that you have a number of different tools in place, and obviously that took a fair amount of integration. What type of IT resources do you have in place, and how did you get all the integration work done? Or did you outsource and use some form of professional services?
Well, first of all, we did not outsource. We used our own folks. We have a staff of, I think it's right now it's at 9 or 10 programmers, and then we also have an IT staff separately. So I'm assuming the question may be more about our developers and the tools that they implemented. But we use our own staff, and this entire implementation on this front end took us a few years because we didn't do it all in one big step. We did it in phases. So we did GMC and did the automation piece for that and then did the file mover piece separately. And so we kind of had to do it as a process because to do it as one big job would have been difficult for us. And again, a lot of our clients, even though we do statements for most of them, the applications can be a little different. The data streams and the structure can be a little different. So in a lot of cases, we actually had to go back and make adjustments to individual programs in order to automate that process. So it took us years to do this entire process to get it across all of our client base.
Okay. Now, let me ask a comparable question of Tim. Tim, what kind of IT resources do you have in place? And did you consider or did you look at any external resources in terms of implementation?
We had to go outside. We've got a generalist inside, but the programming and the integration of multiple systems, we had to go outside for that help because our customer had some pretty specific needs as far as some of the complicated XML passing back and forth and time requirements and web lookups and searches and those kind of things that we didn't have the API integration expertise that was needed to really link the systems together.
Okay. And Tim, we had one other question for you, and you may or may not want to answer this, and I don't, but could you share any perspective on what it cost you to do all the integration for that, for the client, to automate those processes? Or even more importantly, do you feel like you're getting the return on investment, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. I mean, we looked at it, and we passed a lot of the cost on to the customer. We knew this was something that there's not a whole lot of competition out there that we, as far as I know, that can do exactly have the solution we were offering. Cause I went to multiple, finishing vendors and that kind of things. And I got a lot of expertise in the industry to help me on putting the finishing solution for this together. And there really wasn't an answer as far as an existing, unit or software there. So we passed on most of the cost, to be honest. So there really wasn't a worry about return on investment.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to just wrap up with a couple of quick recommendations and conclusions. And I think the big one is that, when you think about your client base, you really need to reconcile two critical needs essential to long-term prosperity. First of all, I think everybody is under extreme pressure to offer customers continually improving and innovative services. But in parallel with that, you really need to improve the efficiencies of the underlying manufacturing operation. And those two things go hand in glove. I have to be the most innovative provider, but to be the most innovative provider, I really need to be the most cost-effective provider. And so when we look at why workflow and why now, basically what we're dealing with is the need for increased efficiency. And what that means is automation lets you optimize your capital and your labor resources. If I'm automated, what it says is it opens the door for innovation, and I can produce new products and new services very effectively in short runs. I become the low-cost provider. And it's not just the cost of labor. It says that, I can help my clients reduce their costs, inventory, training, quality control. And it usually results in a lower cost per unit of print product. And you may or may not pass that on to the end customer. It gives you control. It makes sure that, and I think Fred did a great job of describing this, but it gives you the quality and it makes sure that you've got the right level of integrity. And basically, what it gives you, and most importantly, is that whole concept of long-term viability. What you learn is that if I'm the most cost-effective provider, I know that in a difficult and challenging economy, I'm going to also be one of the strongest providers. And so I'd like to leave everybody with one final thought, and it's one of my favorite quotes from Deming, and it says, a bad system will beat a good person every time. So my recommendation to all of you is go forth and automate. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. And if you would, take a moment to please fill out our feedback survey. And I'd also like to thank OSA for sponsoring the webinar, as well as our presenters. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.